And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. It's good to be with you this Saturday morning. And I have so much information to share with you. But as always, phone calls are much more important than me sharing information. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257 if you want to call and ask a question or a comment. Anything that we can do to improve the quality of your health, it's going to improve the quality of your life. If God has given you a vision and a dream and a plan for your life and how you need to fulfill your God-given destiny, you may want to have physical health that helps you respond to that. If you have a plan for your life, it's going to be much easier to make good food choices. What's the difference between somebody that goes to a restaurant and they order a salmon with salad, that's what I should have said, versus somebody that says, you know what? I'm going to order the onion rings, I'd like the cheesecake, and I'll take a large Coke. Well, one of them is going to be fuel that's going to help your body function at a much higher level. And one of them is just going to be momentary pleasure that's just going to have so much gunk in it. There's nothing it can do to help serve you. All right, let me read this to you right here. Wait a second, we got a phone call. Let's go to the phone lines first. Good morning, welcome to the program. Yeah, thank you very much.
got a problem with my shoulder. My doctor said it was tendonitis. It surely is painful, more painful at night when I try to sleep. What would be recommendation?
Did he say exactly which tendon was inflamed?
Well, no, he did not. It was I was having so much problem with it that I wanted him to x-ray it, so he did. No problem there, so he examined me, and he said it was tendonitis.
Do you have a hard time raising your arm above your head?
Aleve. I don't like taking that.
Well, the Aleve is not going to fix anything. Do you have a hard time raising your arm above your head? Okay.
Yes.
If I were guessing right now, I'd say it's probably the supraspinatus tendonitis. Can I just give you some basic information?
Yes.
Okay. The number one reason why tendonitis ensues or develops is because muscles have become weak or weakened, and they're a bit stiffer than what they should be. So if a person starts to lose their flexibility and they start to lose their muscular strength, then what happens is the shoulder or the arm rides up too high in the socket, and that puts the tendon under tremendous stress. Now, tendons don't have any blood supply whatsoever. They did when you were, say, 15 years old, but you're probably just a hair older than 15.
Oh, I'm just a little bit over, 78.
Oh, just a little
bit older. Just a little bit over.
But what we want to do is we want to focus on how do we fix this. So
yes.
When you sleep at night, if you lay on your side and you start to turn over in the middle of the night, you probably have pretty significant pain that wakes you up, don't you?
You're right there with me, yes.
Okay. I'm going to try to describe this. It's going to be challenging, but I'm going to have a go at it.
Okay.
If you were to stand up straight in front of a mirror, you don't have to be in front of a mirror, but if you stood up straight and you took your arms and you put them straight out in front of you with your palms up, like somebody's going to come and lay a brick of gold in your hands, you got to have your palms up and open to receive it, right?
Okay.
Well, let's scratch the brick of gold. That doesn't exist. But if you take your hands and your arms, they're extended straight in front of you with your palms up, you want to raise your hands and your arms up to about 45 degrees. So as you're standing, I know that's a little bit painful, but if you raise your arms up to about 45 degrees, what you want is you want a piece of what's called exercise tubing. These go for maybe $4, $5, or $6.
Okay.
If you went to the dollar store and they had some, it'd be $2. If you go to Walmart, they'll be $5. If you go to Academy, they'll be $6. If you go to Target, they'll be $10. But
okay.
You want exercise tubing, because what we want to do is we want to do an exercise where your palms are up. You grip the exercise tubing where there's about 12 to maybe even 18 inches in between your two hands, and you want to grip the exercise tubing. And then what you want to do is you want to start pulling down and back where the tubing comes to the top of your chest as you stretch your shoulder blades fully. And this is one of the most simple exercises that I know of. I know I can't describe it perfectly on the radio, but if you did that about 20, 25 times a day, that would cause your shoulders to realign where the ball and socket joint rides a little bit lower and more fluidly within the joint, and that'll totally correct all that.
Okay.
Now, I realize I didn't do a good job of explaining it, but you could use a piece of $5 exercise tubing or stretch bands or something like that, and you could do this exercise literally every single day. And what you're doing is you're training your shoulders to hold themselves in much better alignment. Now, in the meantime, let me tell you what I would do if it were me.
Okay.
If you have any, there's two things that I would use. Number one, there's a type of essential oil called tea tree oil. It comes from a tree called the tea tree. Usually it's Australian, but I think they're found all over Indonesia, Malaysia, Micronesia, probably New Zealand, places like that, but it's famous for being Australia. You can try putting a couple drops directly on the area where you have the severe tendon pain or tendonitis.
Okay.
I don't want to overpromise anything to you, but for some people, it works wonderfully. A drop of tea tree oil, just rub it in. The other thing that I would try is massaging your shoulders with castor oil. And if you, let's just say you have a normal habit of taking a shower about an hour before you go to bed at night. If you took a shower and before you put your t-shirt on, if you would rub your shoulder and your arm down, especially the painful part of the shoulder and the arm, with castor oil, give it a good 30 minutes or so to kind of soak in and see if that doesn't greatly, greatly help you as far as healing and repairing.
Yes, I'm a big fan of castor oil. And one of my books on the tendonitis by Phyllis Balk, says that with DMSO, but not the DMSO from the, they say, medical grade DMSO. Do you know about that with the castor oil?
Yeah, but you know what I was going to say, and you beat me to the punch. Now, I'm just telling you my belief system here.
Sure, sure.
I have no problem with you going to Tractor Supply or Atwood's and buying a $5 small jar of DMSO. It's $5.
Okay.
And so if you want it to be perfect medical grade, you can, but I can tell you right now, I have zero trouble with the $5 jar they sell at Tractor Supply.
Well, good.
So if you want to use that, you can rub that in there. I mean, it stinks to high heavens because it's, you know, made of sulfur.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Then again, that's, you know, it, to the best of my knowledge, DMSO is a byproduct of converting trees into paper.
Yes. Yeah, so, that's what it says.
And so I don't have a problem with that. So if you want to do that, that may be really, really good. The other thing that I would consider, there is a vitamin that human beings cannot make. It's called vitamin C. And
okay.
In my mind, it is so much more common to have problems with tendonitis and pain inflammation when you're low in vitamin C. So I don't think it's going to hurt you to take a little bit of vitamin C every day just to see if this increases the potential of your body to make repairs.
Okay, well, that one I was just talking about in that health food book recommends vitamin C.
If you'll meet me at my office in about 50 minutes, I'll show you exactly how to do that rubber band tubing stretch. It's easy.
Okay.
Although this week I did have one accident. I had a lady in front of me that her arm just wasn't working at all. I was really there to take care of her husband, which is probably, you know, much more important than her. I'm joking.
I wouldn't think so.
No. But I managed to hit her in the mouth twice with rubber tubing accidentally. I mean, it was an accident. But it's one of the best exercises of all time. And if you sometimes, you know how the Bible says, my people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge?
Lack of knowledge,
and
yes.
That's why you're calling. You need just a little bit of knowledge. How do I correct this? How do I turn the ship around?
Yeah, that's why I called you. That's exactly why I called you.
I wish this were TV where I could demonstrate how to use that exercise tubing, because if you saw it, you'd go, oh, now I get it. I understand. But if you will try these things 3 weeks from now, this tendonitis will be a thing of the past, and you'll be moving in the right direction.
That would be great, because this thing is just giving me fits, especially at night when I lay down.
Well, that's because there's no blood supply, and when the tendons aren't, I mean, when you're not pumping oxygen through the circulation, it's just going to start to ache and hurt worse. That's classic tendonitis.
Makes sense. How
long has this been bugging you?
Probably 3 weeks.
Oh, boy. Now, do you remember, is it just one shoulder or both?
No, it's one.
Which one? Your dominant hand
right.
Or your non-dominant?
Yeah, my dominant. My right.
Okay. Do you remember any one thing that you may have done to strain it or stress it or injure it?
No, you know, I thought and thought about that, and I do not know of anything that I did that could have, in my term, injured it. I don't know of a thing.
Well, it happened nonetheless, didn't it?
Pardon me?
I mean, it still has happened, even though you don't know what may have caused the trigger.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And so the key to all this is just restoring function.
Okay.
So if you did those simple tubing exercises, I bet you anything at first it's going to hurt like the dickens to do those. The other exercise that I do, and this is going to be hard to explain, but do you have like an old hoe handle or a mop handle or broom handle? I do an exercise that I call figure eights with a stick, and that's designed to increase lubricity or lubricate the shoulders.
Okay.
Again, kind of hard to show, but I just kind of roll over the shoulders with it, holding a broom handle, and it's just phenomenal. It's one of the easiest things. You know, for the most part, I've already got you into maybe $10 worth of supplies here. Exercise tubing in a tub of DMSO.
Okay.
No, if I had the tea tree...
I think I could swing that.
Well, you know, if I had everything up between the castor oil, tea tree oil, vitamin C, DMSO, mop handle, and the tubing, I may be up to $30. That is if you buy them brand new.
Okay. Doc, I appreciate this. And
you're welcome.
And that's what I'm fixing to start doing.
Hey, thanks for your help. I wish you the best, buddy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, for a man at 78 years of age, he sounds like he's awfully mentally sharp. I like that very much. I bet you anything, he's not retired. I bet you that he is still actively working. I could be wrong about that, but I bet he is. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. All right, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Well, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, ma'am?
Just fine. The reason I'm calling is that I have varicose veins, and I had them stripped when I was in my 40s. I'm now in my 80s. And I went to the doctor, the vascular doctor, and he wants to do this sclerotherapy on me. And I wondered your opinion of this.
Do they do that by injecting salt water in the veins and then a laser?
Yes, it's with, not laser. It's using foam with injection.
Can I go in a different direction?
Yes.
I realize I'm not answering your question directly. There's an article. As soon as you get off the air with me, in just a little bit, I'm going to purposely read an article. It's called Incline Bed Therapy. And it's it's called Incline Bed Therapy. It's not where you get one of these, very expensive beds where you can electronically just raise the head while your feet are horizontal. It's almost like you take your body and it's very straight, but you incline your bed by 6 inches. Mm-hmm. And that has been shown to reverse varicose veins, and it's pretty much free.
Right.
But the two things... The reason why, let me just go back to what you said. You said, what about that therapy where they try to sclerose the veins in order to do away with them? Yes, you can do that.
Yes.
But the basic problem is the fluid dynamics of your legs haven't changed, and so most likely they will come back. Just like when you had them stripped when you were in your 40s, they kind of came back with a vengeance, didn't they?
Well, that particular vein that they took out didn't, but... they pool in my ankles, and that's what's causing my problem. It's the gravity. Like you say, if you incline and take the gravity away, it should help them, right?
Well, that's one thought. Let me give you two or three ideas.
Okay.
There is a mineral that is required by the human body that's probably one of the greatest mineral deficiencies that we face here in North America. It's called zinc. And all I want to suggest is those valves that you have in your venous system, they begin to give way and weaken where blood starts pooling up in the veins like around your ankles that you're referring to. If you're low in zinc, that's when you start to have those veins collapse.
Okay.
So correcting a zinc deficiency is one of the things that helps that. There is a common herb called Collinsonia root. It's one of the best ones that I know of for varicose veins.
Can you spell that?
I can. Let me spell it first. Okay. I'm going to have a go at it. C-O-L-I-N-S-O-N-I-A L-L-I-N, like call in.
Okay.
And then Sonia is almost like Sonia. S-O-N-I-A. And then root, R-O-O-T.
Okay.
And so that's one of those are some of the things, and all these are just aids because the fluid dynamics, the valves are starting to weaken, they're letting go. They don't keep the blood just going one direction, so the blood, you get this back pressure where it starts to pool up in your legs, and that's where you have the fluid retention where they begin to leak. Those things will help. But after I get off the phone with you, I will read that article about incline bed therapy, and you can tell me what you think about it, okay?
Okay.
I just have to find it first.
Okay. I would appreciate it
okay,
so much.
I found it. You want to hear the article?
All right. Yes.
Well, just listen to me, and I'll talk to you later, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Where'd I get this? I got this from, this came from Joe Mercola. From Mercola.com. Adapted from, and I quote, "The Surprising Benefits of Incline Bed Therapy" by Joe Mercola. Okay, here goes. Inclined bed therapy. Get all my paper straight here. There we go. I was taking notes when she called a while ago. I wrote down that she was in her 80s. Isn't that great? It says, raising a bed 6 to 8 inches at the head. It offers promising health benefits, including improving blood circulation. Now get this. And easing symptoms associated with Alzheimer's disease, diabetes, migraine headaches, glaucoma, multiple sclerosis, sleep apnea, acid reflux, edema. Edema would be the swelling around the ankles and legs, and varicose veins. Now, you realize the lady called about varicose veins, but who would have thought that Alzheimer's and migraines and glaucoma, multiple sclerosis, all these would benefit from incline bed therapy? And here I'm quoting. After varicose veins went flat in 4 weeks, that's 4 weeks, people, using the 6-inch raise, which produced a 5-degree angle, I knew we had achieved a positive change in circulation. This is noted by Andrew K. Fletcher, a British mechanical engineer who developed incline bed therapy after studying the circulatory system of plants. See, this is what I think is, I don't want to call it genius, but there are some people, all they do is study God's creation. They go, aha, maybe this is the right way to do it. So Dr. Fletcher, who's a British mechanical engineer, he developed incline bed therapy after studying the circulatory system of plants. I then asked the curator of a Boston museum to measure an ancient Egyptian incline bed, and it too was elevated 6 inches higher at the head end. Of note, sleeping on an incline is not the equivalent to sleeping on an adjustable bed, which elevates the head while the lower portion remains horizontal. Fletcher stresses the importance of lying straight, but on a slope. Increasing water intake is highly recommended, as the elevation will decrease fluid retention and enhance urination. It is a mechanism suggestive of enhanced waste removal, which requires more water to help flush out toxins. Sore muscles and a stiff neck can be expected for the first week or two until the body has adjusted to the new inclined position. Folks, this is a gold mine of information. Now, I know you know people that probably drink very, very little water. And they may not connect the dots, but they may have significant health problems. They're just associated with not enough water. If water is a universal solvent, then how can you wash out toxic debris that may build up or accumulate in the system? Well, it's really hard. But isn't this interesting when you try incline bed therapy, that you may urinate more initially, and you may actually have more so sore muscles and stiff neck, and your shoulders are sore and tender? Oh, yes, isn't that interesting? God has designed the body to adapt. Oh, and adapt it will if you give it half a chance. So, to me, this is very, very intriguing that just a 6-inch incline can improve many, many conditions, like even Alzheimer's. That would be removal of toxic waste. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Hey, Dr. Morgan, I got a question for you here. I went to one of those live screening deals, and they said I have problems with my kidneys here. The GFR is going to be 58, and that creatinine, I guess, 1.48. Is there a way I can get it back into normal range?
Yeah. Number one, you got to give your kidneys a vacation. The hardest thing on the kidneys is going to be eating sugar.
Okay.
And so when I say sugar, let me back up. If you tell me you want to eat a sweet potato, the sugar in that doesn't concern me. If you say that you want to eat strawberries for breakfast, that's not the sugar that concerns me at all. I'm talking about refined sugar. And, of course, you probably knew that, right?
Yeah, I know sugar is horrible.
And, well, sugar is, there's not many things that just really beats the tar out of the kidneys like sugar does.
Okay.
And sugar is very, very acidic. And so the kidneys play a very powerful role in balancing the pH of the body. So one of the most simple, inexpensive techniques that you can utilize right now, and you need to start doing this, is just taking about a half of a teaspoon of plain Jane Arm & Hammer baking soda, or any baking soda. Stir it in a little bit of water first thing every morning and drink it.
Right.
And if you will do that, that will start to soothe the kidneys and take the stress off of them. The kidneys love vegetables. If I asked you if you love vegetables, you're probably going to say yes.
Yeah, I do.
If I asked you if you eat enough vegetables, what would you say?
No.
Okay, so that's one area that you can choose to make a little bit of improvement. It may be as simple as just eating one salad a day.
Okay.
And so I would be tickled by that. Okay. The kidneys need magnesium.
Okay.
So if you're not taking magnesium, this might actually be one situation where supplementing your diet with a magnesium supplement might be a really good starting point.
Okay. I have a powder that I just bought that I've been using a little bit, magnesium powder calm.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that sounds good.
Okay. In the morning time, what I've been doing, I think I heard you say to some baking soda, warm water, and a lemon.
Yeah, you just beat me to the punch, because that's what I was going to mention next is lemon juice.
Okay.
Lemon juice acts like a solvent. Just like if you threw a bunch of dirty clothes in the washing machine, what would you add to it besides water? Maybe a little bit of laundry detergent or soap, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, the lemon juice is going to act it's going to help dissolve debris that builds up in the kidneys. Now, this is my opinion, but I think that a person never outlives their kidneys. So if you're 50 years of age, you've got kidneys that are 50 years old. We've got to take care of them. Lemon juice helps dissolve some of the gunk and the debris. Gunk is just kind of a made-up word, okay? But the lemon juice is going to help dissolve some of the debris and toxic waste that may build up in the kidneys. So if you took the juice of one lemon each day, a half a teaspoon of baking soda, take a little bit of additional magnesium, make sure you drink, I think it would be very wise to drink somewhere between 16 to maybe 24 ounces of water the first thing in the morning when you wake up. And that's doable, right?
Yes, it is.
And so if you avoid soft drinks, things like, Pepsi-Cola, Dr. Pepper, things like that, the carbonated water causes tremendous loss of magnesium from the kidneys. I think salt's essential for kidney function.
Well, I know if it's better. Just get another test. I'm supposed to go to see my doctor, so at the month I'm going to give in this report.
Oh, this is going to all be turned around. If you went to more vegetables and you decrease the sugar, now, do you exercise at all?
Yes, I've been walking every morning.
Oh, that's good.
I've been doing about four to five miles every morning.
Are you serious?
Yes.
You're talking 4 to 5 miles?
Yes.
You could basically walk from Tyler to Jacksonville twice.
I'm in Longview, actually.
Well, you could probably walk from Longview to Jacksonville. No, that's really, really good. Is it easy for you to sweat and perspire?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. Yeah, I sweat a little bit.
Well, do you not sweat as much as you think you should?
Yeah.
If your kidneys improve, you will start sweating and perspiring more.
Okay.
You know, one thing that I would probably do if it were me, I would probably once to twice to maybe three times a week, I would probably take like a really hot bath, not so hot that it hurts you, but a really warm hot bath with Epsom salt in it.
Okay.
And see if that doesn't help draw some of the toxins out of your body.
Okay.
If you have a bead of sweat form on your forehead and it hits you in the corner of your mouth and you taste it, is that salty?
Yes.
Okay. If you were to go to the store and look at salt that they have for sale, they have like Morton salt. That comes from probably Grand Saline, Texas. But that's not the type of salt that's going to be good for your kidneys.
Right.
If it were me, I would go straight to what's called Celtic salt or Celtic salt.
Yeah, I bought some of that. I bought a bag of that over at the Granary.
Well, what do you think about it?
Well, it gets very salty.
Well, I mean, do you think it has a good taste and a good flavor where you're apt to use it?
Yeah, I didn't know. I thought I shouldn't be using it because I have high blood pressure.
If I told you that and I ask people these questions all the time, like a woman was telling me yesterday she was using the pink Himalayan salt, and I said, has that done anything to increase your blood pressure? She said, no, my blood pressure is just fine. But the Celtic salt, these are the rich minerals that your kidneys need to function properly, but it's not processed. So when you look at the stuff, you're going, that looks like dirty sand somebody scraped off the beach at Galveston. I'm not sure I want to eat that. But if you'll start using Celtic salt, you're going to start feeding these rich minerals to the kidneys. They need them. They really do.
Okay, I thought it just raised your blood pressure. That's why I was kind of scared to eat.
Well, do you have blood pressure problems?
Yes, sir.
How long have you had? How long?
Quite a while now. Years.
Are you on medication?
Yes, sir.
How many?
Ooh, they got me on three at least. Yes, sir.
If your blood pressure started to lower, that would give your kidneys a great break and vacation. They would start to rejuvenate. There is a type of herbal tea known as hibiscus tea.
I have some of that also. Yes, sir.
If you were to consume 3 cups a day of hibiscus tea, and maybe what I'm saying is 3 individual tea bags,
right?
I bet you within 2 weeks your blood pressure would be 10 points lower.
Okay.
And there's nothing wrong with that, is there?
No, there's nothing.
What is your normal blood pressure run?
Normal
for you, I meant.
I'd say pretty close to 100, about 140 to 85.
Well, why don't you try the hibiscus tea 3 cups a day? And the easy thing of it is, even if you had a bottle of water sitting on your desk at work, just put a tea bag in there. Give it 30 minutes to kind of cold brew. You'll be good to go.
Okay.
You don't even have to heat up. It just may take a little bit longer for it to make.
Okay.
You know what else I think works well?
Okay.
You're going to laugh at me by saying this. When you walk barefoot with no socks on or no shoes on in the grass or on the dirt, if you can, that helps the kidneys function better.
Yeah, I think I heard you say that before also. Yeah.
I didn't say walk 5 miles on the highway barefoot. Where do you go walking, by the way?
Oh, I just hit I take along the Martin Luther King. I'll walk, you know, just downside the highway all the way down to Cotton Street, Longview. I come back to the park. And I walk around the park until I got one of those little pedometers, and I get it up to about 5 miles, anywhere from 4 to 5 miles before I come home.
Oh, that's awesome. Have you had any close calls yet?
Yeah, one.
What, with cars or cars or dogs?
It's cars. I have my headphones on when I walk.
Well, what do you listen to when you walk?
Just the news.
Is it just like off your iPhone or something like that?
It's off my telephone, my cell phone. Yeah, I just
okay, sure.
I put in apps, iHeart app and Next Phone apps where I can pick up radio stations all over the country.
So you don't want to just walk for the sake of walking. You want to learn while you're walking, right?
Well, it helps. It helps me.
Cool. Well, let me know exactly what happens, and I would say there's several foods that are going to be very good for the kidneys. I would have you consider eating celery.
Okay.
Let me know what happens, all right?
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Have a good day, buddy.
You too.
Thanks, bye. All right, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. 903-586-5257. Good morning. Welcome to the program. Thanks for your phone call.
Hi, Dr. Morgan.
Hello. How are you?
I'm not doing as good as usual. That's why I'm calling you.
Well, goodness. Well, let me help you.
Okay. My name is Jane, and I've got a really bad wisdom tooth. It's a crater, okay? There's a couple of walls left.
So it needs to come out, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes, I'm dealing with that. Medicaid doesn't do that. But I've been packing it, you know, with some gauze and stuff, with salt water, you know, soaked in salt water and a little bit of clove oil. And that helps, but, you know, I wasn't taking good care of it, so, you know, now I'm on the... I went to the doctor because my jaw is locking up, and that was really scary.
Oh, dear. Yes, ma'am, it is.
So, that, you know, they put me on the antibiotic, you know, 500 milligram amoxicillin or whatever. Is there anything that you could suggest? Or?
Well, I think you know what I'm going to say. The most important thing is we've got to find a way to pull that tooth.
Yeah.
And so if it's already a major cavernous crater or cavity,
yeah,
it's just got to be pulled. I mean, that's what's going to save your life right now. Because if you have a chronic low-grade, or if you have a chronic infection that doesn't go away, that has the potential of wrecking your heart and your lungs and your veins and your circulation. I mean, I can tell you the simple things to do, and you've done some of them already. Sometimes what I'll do is I'll just pack it in calcium bentonite clay. Just anything to pull all the toxins out of them. Sometimes I'll just use charcoal. You can try a technique called oil pulling, and all you do is just take like a tablespoon or two of sesame seed oil and just kind of swish it around that tooth and squirt it back and forth and gently move it around your mouth, and that pulls toxins out of it. But at the end of the day, you still have a tooth. It's a major, major problem because it's lost its integrity. And so when you have a major cavity and there's nothing to keep the poison from going straight to your heart or your brain. And so having the jaw lock up, that makes me a little nervous.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Good. I did do the... I got some coconut oil, you know, and I was doing the oil pulling, but then I read, you know, some heard somewhere online that if you have those metal or, you know, the fillings, you shouldn't be doing that.
Well, is this the only tooth that's problematic, or is this just the major problem that you have?
That's the major one I have right now, yeah.
Okay. And I don't really know what it costs to have a tooth pulled. Would that be like $150?
Times 10.
To have that tooth pulled?
I have a friend who just paid $900, and this was his seventh visit to a dentist.
I think what
this
I would...
the one that finally said, you know, I'll do it for this amount.
Well, what I want you to consider is... I would be willing to bet anything if you called 10 different dentists, maybe not this morning because they're probably not at work, but if you called them, I'm almost positive you could find somebody. Where do you live, by the way?
Oh, I'm about 5 miles out of Jacksonville, Cove Springs.
Okay. Cove Springs? I know right where that is.
Oh, you that's where I go to church.
Do you know where you mean right there, that community church on the right?
Yes.
Right there on 175?
Yes.
Yeah, I always read the billboard when I drive by there.
Oh, cool.
I think it says something, the smartest people ever on earth come to church here. Something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
I think that if you came, I hate to give out names on the radio, but I think if you called several dentists, you could easily find one that could probably pull it easily for $150.
Oh, wow. Well, the thing is, they want to put me to sleep because it's, you know, big major thing. And Medicaid, like I say, I barely have $2 left after the, you know, a month of paying all the bills.
Oh, no, I completely understand. Well, I'm so sorry for that.
You know.
I would still try because you may be pleasantly surprised. Somebody may be willing to really, really help you with that. But that tooth, that would completely transform your life if you could extract it.
Yes.
Now, I have a rotary hammer with a large chisel on it. I think I could take care of it for free. No.
Wow.
do you know for a fact that they can't pull that while you're awake? I bet you they could just deaden it and take it out without too much trouble.
I don't know. There's just, it's like just a shell, and it's really
what's your pain tolerance?
I had 5 kids. I don't know.
Oh, listen, I think you're probably pretty I think it could be done very easily without putting you under. Okay. I really do.
I am going to, you know, check around. I know there's some sliding scale. You know, I've checked with the doctor that I saw and all that. Yeah.
Well, I would encourage you just try one more time, call another dentist. But I think that they could probably easily anesthetize that area and deaden it to where you wouldn't feel a thing. And they could probably clean all that out and get rid of every bit of that poison from you. And then you could start to heal and have a brand new life.
Yes. Okay, I do have one other little question. I don't want to take up all your time. But I have, like, when I go to the dentist, they're like amazed. They're like, oh my God, you need a heavy cleaning or whatever they call it. I get a real deep yellow stuff, tartar or whatever you call it, all in, you know, in my teeth. Now, my other teeth, you know, where I have fillings and stuff, my teeth have been chipping away and just, you know, big pieces of it coming off. So you can see the filling. There's no tooth around it completely. But I get really bad tartar or whatever you call it. What deep cleaning, that's what they're saying. What can I do about getting my teeth even cleaner? I mean, to keep them that way.
When I was in Walmart this week, I saw on the shelf they had charcoal toothpaste. But I thought the price was ridiculous. It was like $20 for a tube of it. You could go and say, well, I mean, I guess if it's a novelty brand. But I think if you started brushing your teeth with charcoal, I think that would start pulling those impurities out of your teeth.
Okay.
We're talking about just plain Jane activated food grade charcoal.
I resemble that remark.
I didn't make any more comments. I'm just so I know. Sorry. Your name's Jane. Sorry, I'm just on autopilot. I didn't consider that. That's funny though.
No,
but if you start brushing your teeth with charcoal, but if it were me, I would oil pull not with coconut oil, but I'd try some sesame seed oil. And those are relatively inexpensive, and I think you would get a big bang for the buck, but start brushing your teeth with charcoal, start oil pulling, and see if we can't really get that under control.
Okay.
And I hope that helps you a whole bunch.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. I appreciate you for your call today. Thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye.
God bless everyone at Cove Springs. If y'all didn't know this, I think that's where Randy Featherston lives, Cove Springs. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257 if you want to call me with a question. I mean, before there was ever toothpaste, I think people used to use soot from a wood-burning stove to brush your teeth with. That's charcoal. Good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you?
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. Doing very well. And yourself?
Oh, I'm good. Thank you. Thanks for your phone call.
Dr. Morgan, I've got a question on corn. You've talked about corn before, and I love corn. I've given it up, but I'd like to get some and eat it. Tell me why it's wrong, and then also could you tell us, is there any corn such as heritage corn that I could grow that would be better for us?
The answer is yes, of course you can. If you get either, if you want to call it heirloom or heritage or ancestral, that's all good by me. Yeah, you can use those, and those are just fine. I mean, there's the answer to your question right there. Just get heritage or heirloom corn and grow that and eat it, and you should be good to go.
But what's wrong with the corn that we get off the store?
The simple answer is everything that God has made in the universe is probably good. I mean, if we go back to the book of Genesis, he looked on his creation and it was always good, right?
Amen.
One of the problems is man has taken and said, I'm going to try to improve upon God's creation. And one of the way they do that is they genetically modify something. And corn is one of those substances that's been pretty heavily genetically modified. And so they've altered it from its original intent or form to something different. And when you do that, you increase you may decrease certain nutrients, and you may increase things like sugar in there. And so almost all the corn that's available in the store today, that's hybridized, genetically modified corn, and it may have a fair amount of chemical residue in it, you know, chemicals like Roundup, not what you want. But if you consume organic corn, and it's, or it's heirloom or heritage, and you plant that, I don't have a problem with it.
Okay. Dr. Morgan, one comment. I love the readings that you give us. It's okay to talk to people, but the information you give us through your readings is great as well. Thank you.
Oh, thanks. Well, thanks for your encouragement. I appreciate your feedback, buddy.
God bless you.
God bless you, and have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, I'm going to take that as my cue. A lot of people don't even know about oil pulling, but let me read this to you right here. The process of oil pulling is very simple. You put a spoonful of coconut oil in your mouth, or like I said earlier, sesame seed oil, and you swish it around for a period of 15 to 20 minutes. And you do this gently. The coconut oil is worked in the mouth by pushing, pulling, and sucking it through your teeth. As you work the oil, it sucks up bacteria, toxins, pus, and mucus. Don't swallow it. When you are finished pulling, spit it into the trash. I don't recommend discarding it in the sink or down the toilet because over time the oil may build up and clog the pipes. After spitting, rinse your mouth with water. Or like a gentleman called me the other day, he said, what about the taste? I said, well, brush your teeth and mouth with baking soda and water. Oil pulling is best done first thing in the morning after eating breakfast. After eating, brush your teeth as you normally would. Oil pulling can be done 1 to 3 times a day on an empty stomach. Just before meals is a good time. The coconut oil itself acts like a cleanser. When you put it in your mouth and work it around your teeth and gums, it pulls out bacteria and other debris. It acts much like the motor oil that you put in your car engine. The motor oil picks up dirt and grime. When you drain the oil, it pulls out the dirt and grime, leaving the engine relatively clean. Consequently, the engine runs smoother and lasts longer. Likewise, when we expel harmful substances from our mouths, our teeth and gums work better and last longer. There you go. There's oil pulling. And technically, olive oil has been used. Coconut oil has been used with great success, and sesame seed oil has been used. There may be other oils that I don't even know anything about that haven't been tried, that have been tried successfully. But the idea, oil is a cleanser. What is soap made of? It's made of oil. What is your body made of? Well, essential fatty acids, that's oil. If you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line open, 903-586-5257. Thank you very much for your phone call. How can I help?
Yes, I have a question about naturally lowering my cholesterol.
The only way to do that is to get your body in better working order.
Okay.
Can you give me some numbers on your cholesterol, though?
The HDL was 32, and the LDL was 178.
What is the total cholesterol?
I think 210.
210. First things first. The HDL cholesterol, that stands for high-density lipoprotein. And that's a form that acts kind of like a taxicab and a sponge in the body. And so when the HDL cholesterol is 60 or above, it tends to remove plaque and debris that builds up in the arteries at a faster rate. So you want to go from 30 or the 30s, and you want to go up to 60. And the 2 or 3 ways to do that very, very easily is daily exercise. Do you go for walks at all?
Yes, sir.
How long have you done that?
Not long. I just retired, and to try to stay active, I've been walking.
Oh, I am so pleased and proud of you. I think you're doing great. If you will continue with that, that will help increase your HDL cholesterol, which is an independent factor for improving heart health. So as you keep doing this, I think those the HDL cholesterol numbers will start to go up, and that's going to benefit you a lot. Not everybody, but I'd say 80% of all people, if they take cod liver oil every day, that has been shown to increase the HDL cholesterol.
Okay.
Do you take cod liver oil at all?
No, sir.
You know, if we were living 100 years ago in the past, I bet you anything, our mamas would make us open our mouth each morning and say, here, take your cod liver oil. Could you imagine how probably dirty and rancid it was back then? But it still probably helped. But you can get clean cod liver oil today. So if you start, if you considered cod liver oil, that may help your cholesterol profile. Now, an article I don't have in front of me, they were referring to one of the greatest ways to lower a person's cholesterol and get back in the normal range is just by consuming a little bit of coconut oil every day. So coconut oil has been in the news here recently from some people saying it's very toxic, but some of the leanest, healthiest people in all the world that have the greatest hearts, they consume coconut oil every day. I remember a study years ago where they said, which country has by far and away the lowest emergency room visits for heart attacks and heart disease and stroke? Well, it was Thailand. You think it's by mistake that they're consuming the most coconut oil of any people? I don't. And so coconut oil is something that helps improve your cholesterol profile. Now, here's what I really, really wanted to talk about a while ago. I know what I'm going to say is going to sound a little bit bizarre, but I want you to hear me out. That one form of cholesterol that doctors are very, very famous for calling the bad cholesterol is usually the LDL cholesterol. Have you ever heard of that before?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And that's what you're concerned about, right?
Yes, sir.
LDL cholesterol, it may end up being the greatest toxic sponge-soaking substance in the human body. And so I kind of made the comment that if you become healthier, all I really meant to say is, if you can get your body in better working order and you can get your blood cleaner, that's where the LDL cholesterol has no reason to be elevated or high,
mm-hmm.
and it will start going down low. And so you're walking every day to stay active. It's brilliant. I think it's just phenomenal. I pray that you keep up the good work and you'll see the fruits of your labor, but your cholesterol levels will start to go down over time.
Mm-hmm.
I am a huge fan of eating vegetables. The mm-hmm. very thing that God makes for us, whether it's cabbage or broccoli or zucchini or cauliflower, garlic, onions, all those help keep the body very, very clean. And so the cleaner your body is, you know how it says in Leviticus that the life is in the blood?
Yes.
I kind of think in modern times we're exposed to so many toxins that if we consume more vegetables, that's one of the ways of reducing the toxic load because it has fiber in it. So I think if you focus on vegetables and meat and eliminate grains or reduce grains and sugar,
mm-hmm.
you'll see your cholesterol lower.
Okay.
One of the things that tells your body to make more LDL cholesterol is a hormone called insulin.
Mm-hmm.
So the more sugar that a person eats or the more grains that they eat, the higher the insulin levels are going to be, and you're telling your body to make more cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
So would you guess that children that grow up on these large industrial commercial farms, they have the highest cholesterol of any children in North America because they're exposed to more pesticides, insecticides, and herbicides. And so the more toxic debris you're around, the more your cholesterol goes up because the LDL cholesterol is trying to save your life. It is trying to soak up any waste that it can. So the cleaner that your body is and the cleaner your blood, that's where your cholesterol levels come back down to a normal range.
Mm-hmm.
Do you mind if I ask you, what did you do for a living before you retired?
I was a meat cutter.
I mean, really?
Yes, sir.
Did you work for a grocery store?
Yes, sir.
Which one?
Brookshire's.
Brookshire's. You mean you're the guy in the bag that cuts meat?
Yes, sir.
Wow. I bet you're like a pro at that.
I don't know about that.
Now, did you go down to the creek and make a flint? Did you do some flint mapping to make a flint knife to cut the meat?
No, I did not.
Okay. I guess they gave you the highest quality tools of all time, didn't they?
They tried.
How long did you do that for?
40-something years.
Oh, my goodness. You've got to be the most experienced meat cutter on the planet, huh?
Oh, no. Not by far.
Are you serious? After 40 years?
Yes, sir.
Well, you're more experienced than I am by 40 years. The reason I said that, my dad used to work as a meat cutter for Menards. You ever heard of the...
Yes, sir. I certainly have.
I think Menards has not been in business for a long time. Is that right?
I think you're correct.
That was in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't know how much I'm helping you, but what I would say is you may want to consider taking a little bit of vitamin C every day.
Vitamin C.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I think between vitamin C, the mineral zinc, and what's called vitamin K2, you may see a very pleasant change in your LDL cholesterol along with your exercise and taking cod liver oil.
Okay.
But stick, I mean, do you like to eat meat?
Oh, yes.
What's your favorite cut?
Whatever in front of me.
You're very easy to please, aren't you?
Well, my wife wouldn't say that, but...
Well, she's not on the radio right now, so she's not...
She's listening.
Then I take that back. I was just joking, man. Don't be offended. So, well, if you focused on eating meat and vegetables and tried to lay off the grains, you may be so pleasantly surprised by your cholesterol just drastically improving for the better. And you'll be able to go, wow, look at this. I took all this without a drug.
Okay. Well, now, that leads to my second question in relationship to this, when you mentioned drugs. And if you don't want to answer, just say...
I'll answer it.
They're wanting me to start taking Crestor.
I just think that's a huge, colossal... I think that's a distraction from what's really at stake here.
Okay.
Yeah, they can give you a drug to force your liver into not producing cholesterol, but there's going to be a side effect. It's going to cause a coenzyme Q10 deficiency. It's going to cause a vitamin D3 deficiency. It's going to cause a vitamin K2 deficiency, which means it's not going to really fix anything. I think if you set your mind like Flint and said, okay, I'm going to put it to the test here. Okay. I'm going to walk for 45 minutes a day or 30 minutes a day, whatever you do. I'm going to stay physically active. And if you started just focusing on eating meat and vegetables and kind of pushing grains to the side, I didn't say you couldn't have grains, but, you know, maybe once or twice a week you might go for Mexican food with corn tortillas and corn chips or rice. And I don't mind that. But you're going to see your body transform before your eyes, and what you eat is going to transform it. But if you start to have a confirmation by having a follow-up lab test,
yes,
you're going to know that you're moving in the right direction, but the Crestor doesn't do anything to remove plaque from the arteries. Not a thing.
Okay.
But if your HDL cholesterol goes from 30 to, say, 60, then you will be removing and cleaning your arteries of plaque at a faster rate than what it was before.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, Dr. Morgan, you've been extremely helpful.
Well, thank you for your phone call.
Well, thank you for your help.
You're welcome. I hope you have a good day, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And I'm very sorry that you're very particular, according to your wife. If you want to join me on the air, there's time for another phone call. The number is 903-586-5257. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Morgan.
Hello, how are you?
I'm okay. My brother-in-law just got diagnosed with Crohn's, and he has been dealing with an ulcerated colon, the bleeding, things like that. So,
you sure it's not ulcerative colitis and not Crohn's?
You know, well, they said both, and I don't remember what Crohn's is, so... I don't know.
Well, and I'm not trying to be nitpicky, but usually when you have ulcers and bleeding, that's usually an autoimmune disease called ulcerative colitis.
And that's what they've been doctoring him for.
I know what I'm going to give you is just a very simple idea, but I want it to ring true for you.
Okay.
For your brother-in-law.
Now, yeah, because he really is desperate because he's given me permission to talk to you. About a diet or something like that.
Oh, yeah. No, that's great. How old is he, by the way?
He's about 66 or 7.
Okay. Well, let me introduce an idea to him, okay?
Okay.
Since it's been well established that whether it's celiac disease or Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis, all these are autoimmune diseases. And what that means is there is a chain of events that takes place within his gut to where his immune system is actually attacking his own living, breathing lining of the gut. His immune system is attacking the colon. And so when it does that, it causes just catastrophic damage, and so he has ulcers and bleeding, which he doesn't want. And so here's the idea. When it comes to an autoimmune disease, and I realize what I tell you is probably not anything else that any other physician is going to tell you, but I don't care. My allegiance is to you and your brother-in-law and helping y'all feel better and function at a higher level. I don't care what somebody else thinks. But he's got to wrap his mind around that there is the highest probability, I'm going to say like 100%, that he's eating a food that's triggering a cascade of very negative autoimmune events. And so I want to give you an idea that there's the highest probability he's eating one particular food that is just triggering all these events. And so if I say that he could possibly have, whether you call it a food allergy or a lectin response or an autoimmune, it's got to be either wheat or corn or dairy.
Okay.
And so if he set his mind to just eating vegetables and meat, that may be a start in the right direction. So if he would be willing to forsake all wheat and all corn and all dairy products, then he can find out real quick if he starts to get better pretty quick.
Okay.
So that's an idea.
Yeah.
Now, don't laugh at what I'm about to say. But I think that when you're trying to get rid of horrible inflammation in the colon, you've got to make sure that you have plenty of fat in your diet. So does that sound horrible to eat an avocado or to have a food with olive oil in it or to have something with coconut oil or to consume ghee or something like that? Does that sound horrible?
It doesn't to me, but he doesn't like oily stuff.
Does he like avocados?
You know, I think he does, so that'll be perfect.
So any way that we can increase the fat content on a level that he likes, that helps put out the inflammatory fires in the colon. If I want to make his colon more inflamed, I'm going to give him sugar and grain. I can do that very easily. So if I gave him Rice Krispie cereal for breakfast, I could make it worse. Especially if I put a tablespoon of sugar on top of it. But if you were to have eggs and bacon with an avocado for breakfast, that would be higher fat. Do you think he could do that?
I think so. He is one of the rare people that only eats because it sustains life.
Is he very lean?
Oh, yes. He's really lean.
Has he lost a lot of weight?
He has, and it's real hard for him to get around. I mean, He looks like he's 75.
And so what we got to do is we got to find a way for him to absorb and extract his nutrients. Now, this is only one idea, but sometimes I'll give an individual capsules of okra. Now, if he were to eat okra, you know how when you would take okra and you would boil it?
Mm-hmm.
I can see there's probably... there may be a few people turning their noses up at what I'm saying. But that mucousy, slimy coat, it will help coat that. So I just looked at my clock. I've only got 1 minute left, and I apologize for that.
Oh, okay.
There is a substance called aloe vera gel.
Okay, yeah.
It's not the aloe vera juice. It's the gel. It's the real gelatinous, gooey, gunky stuff.
Yes.
If he could start consuming that in great amounts, that will start coating and soothing and healing the lining of the gut.
Oh, okay.
The other thing that I would strongly consider, just in the short time that we have, is the idea of probiotics. These are the beneficial microorganisms that you could actually supplement in capsule form or powder form, because what we want to do is we want to coat the lining of his gut to kind of calm it down.
And so
I realize he's kind of wasting away and losing some of his strength, but okra, aloe vera, and probiotics, those will all help.
Perfect. Okay.
Where does he live, by the way?
Fort Worth area.
Oh, that's not too far away. Where do you live?
Lake Palestine area.
The rumor has it that only genius people live out at Lake Palestine. Is that correct?
Like you said, that's a rumor.
Well, it could be true. But no, thank you very much for your phone call.
I'm praying for you.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate
you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Dr.
And yes, I do need your prayers. If you'd like to join me next week, 903-586-5257.